Blog Talk Radio.
We would have you understand that the flame that you are burns eternally and shall never go out, no matter how bright you allow yourself to become. We shall have you understand that you exist now and always shall, and you always have, because now is the only time and the only place and the only existence there is and always has been and ever shall be. You are eternal. You are infinite. You are spirit. You are body. You are mind. You are heart. You are soul. You are an idea. You are an expression. You are a thought. You are a dream of the infinite creation. But that is reality, and all reality is couched within your dream. You contain it all. You are the whole expression in your own individualized way. You are the matrix. The matrix is you. You are everything. Everything comes from you. Everything gives birth to you as you reinforce the existence of everything and everyone. All that is, the infinite creation, the fabric of existence, chose you. Chose that you should exist. Chose you. Consciously chose you. You are in that way, therefore, blessed, and we would have you understand that. Simply because of the fact that you exist, you are blessed. For you are created out of divine material, out of divine light. You are the infinite creator. And your existence was a conscious decision, a conscious thing, a conscious choice. Act in like manner. Be of like mind. Respect yourselves. Love yourselves unconditionally. For out of unconditional love were you created. And out of unconditional love shall you create anything you desire. Begin to feel the energy of your interlinking with all thought forms, all consciousness, all civilizations, all eyes, all ideas, all mind, all heart, all soul, all spirit is one. And you are one within that sea, within that pool. Know that you are the fabric and the essence of the galactic energy. Not one of you, in that sense, can be removed from the matrix without the collapse of the entire structure. You are integral in that way. You are essential in that way. And we would have you understand that because you are interconnected in this way, because everything you do has impact within the entirety of creation, that you deserve to exist in this way, and you deserve to be the fullest individual you can imagine yourself to be. That you deserve to manifest all the things you can conceive of. That you deserve the existence you have been given, or it would not have been granted to you. That you deserve all the love you can imagine, because love is what you are made out of. That you deserve all the light you can create in your life, because light is what you are made out of. Feel in the beating of your heart that it keeps pace with the rhythm and the pulse of the spinning of all the galaxies, of the fabric of existence itself, of the universal heart of infinite creation. For you all beat within that heart, and not a one of you is outside the heart of all that is. You are the blood and the life force of God itself. It is your force and your life as well. You are it, and it is you. Out of your dreams, be born. Out of your heart, be alive. Out of your soul, be light, for you are nothing else.
Hello, and welcome to Revolutionary Life,
revolutionary. And here's where we, revolutionary life is where we discuss many topics affecting our day-to-day lives, directly and indirectly. The difference is we take a revolutionary point of view, or we look at them from a revolutionary point of view. Let me put it that way. And tonight on Revolutionary Life, we're going to be, tonight's Friday night, guys. So Friday night, we're going to be doing a wrap-up. Every Friday night, we do a wrap-up because we're here every weekday night, Monday, Tuesday, Monday through Friday. And so on Friday, we kind of wrap up all of the topics that we discussed on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. All right? And so you, if you missed any of Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday's presentations, you are lucky enough to, if you're listening in tonight, to hear a little recap of those topics. You know, all of our episodes are archived. And so there's a on-demand section on the site where you can actually go back and look at the older shows. All right? And if you have done that, especially if you listen to shows we've already done this week, and say maybe you had a comment, but you didn't call in or you didn't write in, well, it's a call-in show. And tonight, just like each night, there will be a call-in section. And my chat room will be open. I will have that call-in section. I will open up that chat room. And if you'd like to comment on any of the topics that we discussed this week, you'll be free to call in and talk about those subjects, any of them. We're going to try to narrow them down to just what happened this week, or the topics we went over this week. All right. Thank everyone who's listening in tonight. I appreciate you. And I didn't want to waste your time. So our subjects are serious subjects. And tonight, you're here. If you're new to here, if you're new to our site, you'll get a brief overview, I guess, a preview or overview, let's say, of the topics we discuss here. And you'll see we address topics that matter, that we think matters. So tonight on this wrap-up, the topics for the week that we'll be wrapping up will be education, healthcare or health in general, I'm sorry, and alternative energy, and we also hit on currency, cryptocurrency, bitcoins, Ethereum, and all that stuff, other things out there. So we had a little discussion on all of that this week, guys. And those were our primary topics for this week. And some of them were very interesting. And we had some good reaction from our audience and some of them. And so you might want to listen to for that as well. All right. And so tonight on Revolutionary Life, and keep in mind, we're here every weekday night from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. And we also have our web Facebook page, which is by the same name, Revolutionary Life. Mm-hmm. And also you can follow this page. There should be a follow link there. So you can keep up on what our topics are, what the next topic is going to be, that kind of thing. All right. Thank you again for listening in. And let's get at it, guys. It's Friday, wrap-up night. Education, health, alternative energy, and cryptocurrency were the discussions this week. All right? Let's start with education. We did one on education. And I'm just going to pull the primary kernel out of that conversation and any interesting feedback I got back from phone callers. And then we'll move on to the next subject. All right. But the first one will be education, guys. So let me give you a little music, and I'll be right back with our first topic for this week that came down this week, education, yours, your children's, mine, the public's. We'll get on that when we get back. Hang in there. You're listening to Revolutionary Life. Hang on just a minute. You're listening to Revolutionary Life. We're back. And we was talking about education, guys. And education, our topic on Monday, I think that was on Monday, we did a whole thing on education. On the education issue, We simply just talked about the new privatization of education, of public education. There's always been private schools, right? No, our issue this time was about public education, what used to be public education, or may still a little bit left of public education, are now being turned over to private corporations to run for profit. And those private corporations are now offering, the government is now offering vouchers so you can choose a school to take your kid to. And that means that you can take your kid to any school you like. If you got the voucher, hopefully if the voucher covers everything, you don't have to be subject to private schools anymore. To public education anymore. You're going to have vouchers. And I told you in that presentation that over the next few months, when school gets going again, you're going to hear a lot of horror stories about public school. If you haven't heard them already, if you haven't heard a bunch of them already, you're going to hear some horror stories. All right. And those horror stories are going to be all about how terrible public schools are. And of course, once they do that, the next commercial, the next program you're going to receive is the one on vouchers and charters, schools. So we can close down public schools and we can just have corporations, our private individuals, private concerns, private enterprises, conduct our kids' education. Now, I don't mind telling you that in my school, at my university, at my university, they used to have career day. On career day, parents came on campus. Students came in with their suit and ties on because they were going to meet with maybe representatives from certain corporations. They got tables out there and everything. And my school sold the fact to parents that they had gone out and they had taken a survey, interviewed several industry leaders out there around the country. And they asked those industry leaders, what do you need in the future worker? What skills do they need? What kind of mindset do they need? And universities said, we need people who can work independently, people who are self-driven, that kind of thing, and all that. And so they made notes of all this, and they came back and they told the parents. We've gone around and we've interviewed all of these industries, and we had collected all of that information about what they look for in tomorrow's worker. And we fashion our curriculum around those queries, their answers to those queries, so that we can guarantee that your kids is ready for work, is work ready, future ready when he comes out of college. He's ready for the world of work when he steps out of this college, because we're going to prepare him. How are we going to prepare them? We're going to prepare them according to what these corporations said that they were going to look for, they're going to be needing and looking for in the next generation of workers. Sound good to the parents? Sounds great. Sound like the university really did its due diligence, got out there and found out what the next future worker needs, and they're going to put that into their curriculum and guarantee that the future worker, that their students are ready for the world of work. What I mean to point out to you is that your education curricula has already been determined for you by, not by your school, not by educators, but by corporations. The educators are just following suit. The corporation, private business, have decided what it is they need you to learn and not to learn. The omission, what you shouldn't learn, is left out, but what they need you to learn is definitely included. And so your university is just carrying out their orders, their marching orders. Get me this kind of worker. Teach him these skills, give him this mindset, send him out here, and we'll hire him or her. And so my university has fashioned this curriculum around these desires, these wishes of the corporate world. Now, you know what that looks like, guys? Do you know, have any idea what that looks like in the school system? And you've been there. I've been there. First, you know, primary, secondary, local universities. I've never gone to a private school, but I went on and pointed out how my school is corporate. My school's curriculum is directed by corporations, and they don't mind telling you so. My school job was to get you ready to go find somebody to work for. And I could tell because they introduce, and they're introducing to your child, if your child is not in a private school or homeschool, a concept called STEM. We discuss that. We discuss STEM, STEM. And that is an abbreviation for science, technology, engineering, and math. These are the primary common core. These are the primary subjects that they're going to teach your child. They've even set up STEM charter schools now that specialize in STEM and teaching your child STEM skills. So that's perfect for a corporation. They need technicians, they need engineers, they need mathematicians and scientists. But, you know, I spoke about this because I'm a technician myself, and I know that us technicians, if you give us a grant and a lab, we're good. We're going to drop our head and go to work, and we might not look up for a couple of days to see what's going on in the world. I asked you to look at Oppenheimer and Albert Einstein. Nobody told them that they were going to use their science and technology and engineering and math to drop atomic bombs on cities filled with women and children going to work, school, every day. Not battlefields. They didn't drop the bomb on a battlefield. They didn't drop the bomb on a military installation. No. Nagasaki and Hiroshima were city centers, big cities. And so it's like they, instead of dropping the bomb on Fort Bragg, they dropped the bomb in the middle of New York City. They chose to do that instead. And so we did. The U.S. did. And so you find that both Albert Einstein and Oppenheimer, who worked together on this atomic bomb, had no idea what they were doing. They had no idea what the government was going to do with what they were doing. They knew what they were doing. They were splitting the atom, a new source of energy. But once they did it, the people they did it for put it in a bomb. That's the way technicians are, guys. Anyway, so that's what they want, STEM. Scientists, technicians, engineers, and mathematicians. So what that means, of course, is that the liberal arts is out the window. Forget about humanities. you know, you can forget history as a subject in college. I mean, nobody tell, okay, you ain't going nowhere with a history degree. But the liberal arts created critical thinkers, artists, writers. Critical thinking and on the agenda. None of the corporations that were interviewed said, we want critical thinkers. We want tomorrow's leaders. We want people who can run something. No, 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 no. They said, we want workers. And this is the kind of worker we want. Self-motivated, right? Self-starter, you know, that kind of thing. And these are the skills we want you to teach them. And they didn't say, and here are the skills we don't. They just say, here are the ones we want you to teach them. And my university fashioned its curriculum around those skills. So we talked about privately run education. And it's the topic of that Monday discussion was education. What education? By who? To what ends? Are we raising leaders out there in our public education system? Or are we just raising people that go find somebody to work for? So that presentation on Monday ended with that question. Do you want to send your kid to a private university, private for-profit entity, which says something about their primary goals and mission, profit? Or do we want to have a functioning public school system geared around a well-rounded education? Ones that we have something to say about. There would be no PTAs in a private university and a private school, charter schools and stuff, and privately run schools. I don't believe. I don't know. I never gone to a private school. However, all I ask is to look at their motives for being. One is public good. The other one is private good. You can send your child into any one of those with the either of those motives. You may choose the private good motive. You may choose the public good motive, but it's up to you. That was Monday. That was education, guys. And that was a fun presentation. The next presentation we did, this was Tuesday. On Tuesday, I think it was, we talked about health. Was that Tuesday? Well, anyway, let's talk about health. The next one we talked about was health. Whether that was Tuesday or Wednesday, I'm not sure. I have to go look back. Your health, my health, and people's health in general, the public's health in general. And so in that conversation, we talked about food and diet, COVID, disease in general. We spoke of disease in general and death. We talked about death. I'm going to give you a little music, and when we come back, we're going to talk about health, food, diet, disease, and death. I'll see you in a minute. You're listening to Revolutionary Life. This is Gary speaking. We're here every weekday night, by the way, from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. Central Standard Time. And you never know what the subject's going to be, but whatever it is, it's going to affect us indirectly or directly, all of us in our lives. And we're going to look at that same issue that you probably already heard about, but we'll look at it from a revolutionary point of view. And revolution is just about change, guys. That's all it is. The revolutionary just wants to be on the vanguard of that change, as opposed to the reactionary who wants to hold back that change. So we try to keep our fingers on the pulse so we can ride that wave. And so tonight, one of the things that we, well, tonight's Friday night, and so tonight we are going back over some of the subjects we hit on down through the weekend. We talked about education just a minute ago. If you want to hear that, you can always go back. All of our shows are archived. That means you can go back on, stroll on down. You will see our on-demand section on this site, which will allow you to go back and check out older shows. We did a show on education this week. If you haven't heard it, you can still go pick it up. We also did a show on health. The topic of that show was health, food, diet, disease, and death. Food, diet, disease, and death. In fact, I started that show off by saying how important health was to me. It became important to me as a young man. I started it off by letting everyone know, by full disclosure, that number one, people very close to me in my life are dead now. They're gone. They've passed on. The thing is, nobody killed them. They weren't in any accidents, plane crashes or something. They died from health problems. Subjects about diets and all that, vegetarian, all that wasn't an issue in my community. And so that wasn't a big, health wasn't a big deal. Unless you got sick, then it became a big deal. Other than that, can nobody tell you what to eat, what not to eat and all that? No. Well, they're dead. God bless them. They ate what they wanted to eat and enjoyed themselves, I hope. But they died from health issues, nothing else. Check this out. Here's my thing. If they cared about their health, they could very well be sitting here with me right now. People I love, people I miss. But anyway, guys, I said early on, because early on I got into health, watching them pass away, visiting them in the hospitals and hospices, watching them shoot up, get shot up with morphine in the hospitals until they finally passed away. And I'm talking very close relatives as well, guys. And so at a very young age, I got to studying about health. I end up becoming a vegetarian. I've been a vegetarian for over 20 years. Well over 20 years now. And prompted by what I was seeing in my family, I became a vegetarian through study. I'm a teacher. I'm an instructor now. But I went to the books. So people are asking me, why did you become a vegetarian? Are you a Buddhist or Muslim and all that? And I would tell them, no, I'm none of that. I went to the books. I went to the reports. I went to the studies, the scientific studies. And I read up on this subject. Interesting things I learned about meat eaters in nature and vegetable eaters in nature. Interesting as they compare to human beings And so I relayed some of that information in that presentation. And I encourage you to go back and take a listen to it, because there's a stark difference between the body of a natural meat eater and yours. And it might answer some problems, some issues for you. It might not. Once you know those differences, you might realize that you're closer to, in terms of being able to digest and assimilate nutrition from food, you're closer to a vegetarian animal in that inside of you. I don't care what you think outside. That's irrelevant. I wasn't studying what you think, what you believe. I was at a scientific journal. The scientific journal showed me pictures of your intestinal tract and your digestive system. Then it showed me pictures of a vegetarian animal's digestive system. Then it showed me pictures of a meat-eating digestive system. And you don't look like that meat eater. I'm sorry. His stomach has enough acid in it, I learned, to dissolve bone, sinew, raw meat, and muscle, and anything else they got in there. You don't produce that kind of acid. If your body even tries, you're going to suffer from something known as acidosis, an over-acidic body, or indigestion. Not enough acid. Indigestion is always not enough acid, right? If you get indigestion, take a teaspoon of acid. Take a teaspoon of vinegar, acidic. Take a teaspoon of vinegar or two. I know it's tough, some of y'all, but I guarantee you that indigestion won't last 5 more minutes, because it wasn't a lack of acid that caused it. It wasn't too much acid in your stomach. You don't need an antacid, a Tums, because your indigestion is a result of the lack of the ability to digest. Indigestion means you can't digest whatever you just ate. Your body gave up. Your stomach said, I can't deal with this. What is this? Put a little more acid in there. Take a teaspoon of vinegar. You'll be all right. Now, healthcare, we went over food. We went over diet. And I said that I was a vegetarian. I disclosed that right off the top so people can see where I stand, biases or whatever. And I get it through study, not through a religion, not through anything like that, not even sympathy for animals, to tell the truth. Because someone asked me once, if there were no vegetables, what would you do, just starve? My response was no. If you didn't run fast enough, I'd probably eat you, because the survival was on the agenda at that point. And I told him that, in fact, I believe that meat eating in nature evolved during a desperate period era on this planet, when there probably wasn't anything else to eat. And animals start going after each other. So I think meat eating is a desperate act. Every time I see it on TV with animals, I think it started that way. Excuse me, guys. And I think it takes just as much energy preparing, catching, hunting, killing, and prepping and cooking meat as it does to eat it as you get back from eating it. Anyway, so I did some study. That study led me to become a vegetarian. And so you do some study, and you make up your mind where you want to go. After 20 years, I can say that I believe being a vegetarian saved my life health-wise. I don't know, but I believe it is. I would never have said that 10 years ago, because I was experimenting with vegetarianism. And so I was embarrassed to tell somebody, yeah, you should be a vegetarian. I didn't know for sure if that's why I felt so good and I was healthy. I thought I was just young. But 20 years later, man, past 20 years later now, I've been a vegetarian and I'm good, man. In the middle of pandemics and all this stuff, I ain't got no pills in the closet, in the medicine cabinet. I don't have any doctor appointments. I ain't been to a hospital except to visit somebody in years. And I wake up in the morning ready to roll, man. And so I ain't scared now. I used to be hesitant, but I'm not hesitant anymore. After 20 years now, I'm going to say I think my diet has something to do with it. Plant-based diet, guys. I ended that presentation on healthcare speaking on another interesting health, I think pivotal health question, placebo. What is placebo, I asked. What's going on there? Every clinical trial, every drug has to go through the Federal Drug Administration, wants it to go through a trial first before they release it onto the public. And every trial, every clinical trial has three groups in it. One group takes the medication. The other group takes nothing. That's the control group. And then the third group takes a placebo. Guys, that's a sugar pill disguised as medication. The third group doesn't know that. They don't know they're taking sugar pill. And let me tell you something. They said this works even better, well, when you use a hypodermic. But they give them pills. And let's so at the end of the trial, they check everybody out. Well, the FDA would not let this drug come out on the market because of those trials. Because the people who took the drug, these were a drug for tumors, people who had these peripheral tumors. They were sent over by doctors, and they agreed to participate. Doctors assured that they had the disease. I sent somebody over there who doesn't. We're testing a drug that's supposed to deal with that disease. Well, 7 out of 10 people who took the drug got healthy, got better. The tumors disappeared. 7 out of 10. All 10 people who didn't take the drug stayed about the same. They still had tumors. The placebo group who took the sugar pill, 7 out of 10 tumors disappeared. 7 out of 10 took the drug, tumors disappeared. 7 out of 10 took a sugar pill that they thought was a drug, and the tumors disappeared. What's going on, guys? It's called a placebo effect. And so we ended that conversation on health by reminding you that what you believe can heal you, and what you believe can kill you. So when it comes to health, ain't it up to you? I mean, you go to bed and wake up with your body all your life. How you go to bed and wake up with your body for 50 years, 20 years, 30 years. And then the first time you have an ache or a pain, you go to a stranger, a doctor, and say, what's wrong with me? I can't seem to block. Hell, he don't know. He ain't never seen you before. You wake up and go to bed with you every day. And you got to go to a stranger to find out what's going on with that body of yours. And then you don't have a relationship with that body. Somebody got you to believe something that may be detrimental to your health. So we just got to get a relationship with our bodies, man. And that was on health. Believe me, when you walk in a doctor's office, you know more about what's going on with you than he does. In fact, you're liable to get a clipboard stuck in your face and a pencil. And be told to sit down and fill that clipboard out, por favor, please. And you'll notice on that clipboard, it's going to ask you everything from what kind of medication you're taking, what kind of history do you have, have you ever had this, have you ever had that, blah, 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 blah. You got the answer to all those questions. They don't. you knew more about your situation when you walked in that door than they did. After you get through filling out that form saying you taking this medication or not, that you have a history of this or not, he's going to go in the back room, punch all that information into a computer. The computer is going to come back and say it's likely to be this. And he's going to come out and tell you, he's going to give you a clinical, what's called a clinical diagnosis. There's two kinds of diagnosis. One is classic, the classic disease. They know exactly what it is. They got a name for it and everything. But he's responsible for, if you're experiencing symptoms of some kind, he's responsible for making a clinical diagnosis. So he's going to come out, and he's going to say, well, you know what? We need to take some tests. In the meantime, you can take this prescription down for the aches and pains, and you can stop by the pharmacy and get some for those aches and pains. But we'll know better when the tests come back. That's the rub, guys. That's where the money is. You see, me and this doctor and his partner out of college or med school, they put money together and bought an MRI machine. That's a very expensive machine. And they still got to pay for it. All they did was down payment to get it. And so they're going to send you out to get an MRI. We're going to have to take an MRI. We're going to have to look into the situation a little bit better. And there you go. Tests after tests after tests. And you have to call them oftentimes. Did my test come back yet? I'm just saying. Look after your health, guys. If you want to hear more on that health issue, guys, go and listen to the back and forth in the presentation we did on health this week. Everything's on demand, so you can go back and listen to the entire presentation. All right, and guys, the next thing we discussed was alternative energy, solar power, wind power, all that stuff, and versus coal and all that. But, like I said, we talked about energy independence. And this ain't hippie or this ain't living off the grid type of stuff. But it is, I guess, in a way. But you don't have to go off the grid to do it. This is about gathering your own energy independence. And a caller called in, and that caller said, warned us. And now is a time when these new innovations come out, just like the internet when it was new, when these new innovations come out, you have to jump on them right away because businesses are, corporations are trying to figure out how to make a dime off of this, off of sunlight. And after a while, he said, the door is going to close. And so I agree. Every new invention, when it first comes out, you got a chance to get in there and get the best of it while it's available, while it's free. You know, AOL used to give out free discs when the internet came out. Didn't cost you nothing to get on AOL. Now you pay every month for your internet, most people. But he said the door is going to close. So we talked about alternative energy. I'm going to tell you something about alternative energy. I'm going to tell you something about electricity in general. And we started this conversation out this week, talking about solar. Yeah. Yeah. So when I get back here, guys, we're going to talk about solar. You see, that some people believe the sun goes down, goes away every day. We're going to straighten that out when we get back. You're listening to Revolutionary Life. My name is Gary. And don't forget, we're here every weekday night from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. Don't miss out, guys. Tonight, we're doing a recap of the topics of the week. Every Friday, we do a recap of the topics of the week. So this week, we talked about education. We talked about health. We talked about alternative energy. And we talked about cryptocurrencies. All right? When I left you guys, I was telling you about alternative energy. And I wanted to stop because our presentation started with, and you can go back and listen to this. Of course, like I said, all of our shows are archived. So they're all on demand. You can go back and play them again. I said some people believe that the sun goes down. Now, the reason I said that is because when you start talking about solar power, people say, well, what about on a cloudy day? Or what about at night? See, solar power is just not consistent, you know, because what if there's clouds or what if there's night? And I said, that must be some kind of mindset. A small world. It's a small world that you live in. You can't access energy from the sun because a cloud came over, or it was a cloudy day. You can't access energy from the sun because it got dark. Well, the sun don't go anywhere. Whether it's a cloudy day or whether it's nighttime, the sun's still shining, guys. Right? Right? I mean, and I said right because I mentioned to some high school students that I was teaching. I teach a foreign language, guys. And I had to stop that class for a moment because I was mentioned to a group of high school students that the sun doesn't rise and set. And they looked at me like I was telling them something they hadn't heard before, that they couldn't believe. Now, I understand. Ever since they were a child, the weatherman on TV has been telling them sunrise at 6 o'clock, sunset at 9. They tell you that every day. And I guess their subconscious like patterns. You know, your mind loves patterns. That subconscious mind picks up patterns, repetition. And so if they hear that every day all their lives, sure enough. Now, by the time they get in high school, you would figure they'd know better. But they didn't. They were surprised to hear me disclaim. They hear me claim that the sun doesn't go up and down. That was interesting, guys. So I stopped that class to teach them that we turn away from the sun. Every 24 hours, we make a loop away from the sun and back again. The sun didn't go nowhere. It's right there when we get back. It's right where we left it. It's us that's moving around, away causing day and night. The sun is not causing day and night to happen. And so, if you know that the sun doesn't go anywhere, the sun is already there, ready for you to use it whenever you want to. If you let clouds and nighttime stop you from accessing the sun, that's your problem. It ain't got nothing to do with the solar panel. It ain't got nothing to do with the sun. It's got something to do with you. Your thinking, your mindset, I guess. Because the sun doesn't set. It's always up there. And so we had this whole conversation, guys, and we talked about solar and the problems with solar. And the two major problems, of course, as I keep hearing, is overcast days and nighttime. And that's your problem. Sun's already there. If you can't access it, that's your local problem, not a worldwide problem. The world don't need to hold on solar power because it gets dark. That's ridiculous. It's shining somewhere on this earth all the time. The problem is that everybody is trying to get their own little personal solar power so they can sell it. Other than that, you'd put solar panels at every time zone. When it's 6 o'clock in New York, Eastern time, it's just, when it's noon Eastern time, it's just 7 o'clock Central time. And we're going to get our noon in about an hour from now. And then when we get our noon, it's 11 o'clock Mountain time. And they're going to get theirs about an hour from now. And then when they get their noon time, it's going to be Pacific time. And they're going to get their noon time another hour from now. You don't ever, in this country, it's rare that you can't put a solar panel somewhere where it's going to get sunlight 24, most of the day. If you think bigger than my neighborhood, my house, but you know, the small world. Anyway, we live in a small world. We got borders between states, let alone cities, let alone countries. And we can't seem to break them, even when it comes to something as vital as energy and as free as sun energy. And until and unless we do, we're going to compartmentalize ourselves to death around here. I mean, it gets big, guys. Planetary-wise, if you want direct sunlight, there's something called the equator around this earth. And as the world turns, if there were solar panels on that equator at every longitudinal stop on the longitudinal lines on the map, then the sun will always be shining on a solar panel because the world is turning. Not in spite of it, because it is. There'll be a panel turning towards the sun every hour, soaking it up. Not just a panel, but an array. You know, you don't put one panel, but you put an array on these locations. And nobody has to go without electricity from the sun, ever. The sun's up 24/7. You're not. Don't bring the sun down to your level. We got to get past that. And it takes some out-the-box thinking to do so. It takes some breaking borders to do so. And we did wind, guys. We did water. We went through all the different alternative sources of power that until and unless industry can figure a way to make a dollar out of sunlight and free-flowing water, technologies are going to be piecemeal and on hold. I live by a river that's run all the time. They make a song about it. Just keep on rolling along. The river never stops. A paddle wheel in that river will create electricity. Somebody just lowered one down there. They got a guy putting an egg beater, you know those little things on an egg beater? They got a guy putting something that looks like one of those little arms on an egg beater inside of your water pipes, your city pipes, the big ones. And every time you flush your toilet, water rushes through that pipe and turns that turbine and makes electricity for that city. And how often do you run your water, your sink, your kitchen, your toilet, your shower, or when there's a rainstorm and the sewer drains and stuff start to run, filling up. That little egg beater in your water pipe is creating electricity just by your day-to-day water use, a whole city's water use. All kinds of things, man. We talked about all kinds of things that make electricity. But they're going to close the door, just like the caller said. Sooner or later, they'll figure a way to close the door on this. Because every time these new things come out, you have an opportunity to grab them, to to be independent of the system, of the grid. But if you don't catch up, wise up, you get left behind. Or they close the door on your ability to do that independently, and you have to go through them. That's the idea. So we did a whole thing, guys, on alternative energy and the politics around it. And the next thing we did, the last thing we did was cryptocurrency. We got into money and what is money, what is not money, and what about crypto? What about the ones and zeros? And fiat currency and the like. Money out of thin air and all that. And so we talked about the money. We talked about your money and mine and where it's going, the Great Reset. And so when I come back, guys, we're going to do money, cash money. Crypto and hard currency. Start to say real money. Hard currency. I'll be right back, guys. You're listening to Revolutionary Life. This is Gary speaking. We're here every weekday night between 7 p.m. and 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. We're under, we're getting close to our call-in section. I just want to remind you that all of our presentations are archived. So you can always go back to our on-demand section and look at any of the previous presentations. Just pick your topic. I think we covered them all, pretty much. And we got more to go, actually. The world keeps turning. Revolutionary life, and revolution ain't nothing but change, guys. Revolutionary just want to be on the vanguard of that change. The reactionary wants to hold back change. Can't do that. Not for long. So tonight here on Revolutionary Live, we're doing our Friday wrap up, where we recap the presentations from the week. That's so the people who heard those presentations didn't get a chance to call in or speak to them, or maybe even enter a comment in the chat. Then they get another opportunity at the end of the week, because we go back over those subjects, and any of them are up for grabs in terms of conversation and comment. And so I'll be opening up my chat room, and my call-in number is right there on the page, guys. If you can't see it, it's area code 319-527-6060. The last topic was Thursday night, I think this was the Thursday night topic, but the last topic we'll review tonight, is cryptocurrency. Like I said, you can go back and listen to that full presentation. But just to recap, guys, everybody out there probably have heard of Bitcoin and the like. Okay, Bitcoin, crypto, Ethereum, there's a ton of them out there. I got a friend who just started him in what's called an NFT, non-fungible token. Kind of like a Bitcoin. And we spoke about this, guys, the value of the Bitcoin. What is it? Where does a Bitcoin get its worth, its value? Well, the Bitcoin works off the basic premise in capitalism, and that is that scarcity makes things dearer, more expensive. Abundance makes things cheaper, less expensive. You know, if you think about it, you think about how if there's more potatoes on the market, then if you are a potato grower, the price of potatoes is going to go down because everybody's selling potatoes. They're everywhere. But if there's a potato blight and you're the only one got good potatoes and there's just a few good ones around, you can raise your price. Because you only have a few, right? You ain't got as much as the whole industry, but you got some. And you can charge what you want for them down there because they're scarce. You know, diamonds. That lie about diamonds being scarce. There's mountains of them. Go to South Africa sometimes. There's mountains of them. And I talked about Bitcoin and this currency. They only made a certain amount, right? So if I make 100 total, and I'm not going to make any more, they're not making any more Bitcoin. They made a set amount. So every time somebody buys one, or investors in a Bitcoin, takes a Bitcoin for themselves, or two or three or a thousand, doesn't matter, there's less and less Bitcoins left. And so the price goes up. Scarcity makes the price goes up. So when you see the price rising in Bitcoin, it's because there's only so many. And every time somebody buys one, the price for the next one goes up. Or every time somebody makes a purchase of something, price start to rise. And so you want to get in there before it gets too high, because check it out. If I only got 100 Bitcoins in circulation and somebody just bought 50, them last 50 is going to cost a little piece of money. It ain't going to be as easy to get as those first 50 was. The price has gone up. And if somebody coming in and buy 45, I got 5 Bitcoins left and I ain't finna make any more. Bitcoin is not going to produce any more Bitcoins. And that's what they say. And those last five are going to be astronomical in price, maybe. So at some point, very few people will be able to get in on the Bitcoin. So you want to get in early, right? And so scarcity is how the Bitcoin increases its value. Think about it like that. Abundance means cheaper. Scarcity means more expensive. Now, other than that, the Bitcoin had the cryptocurrency has the ability of having anonymous, secure. They use blockchain. A lot of companies use blockchain. It's secure. And so they use blockchain, so it's secure, and it's anonymous. Nobody can tell who bought what from who. And people like that anonymity. and they like not having to go through banks and have records of their financial transactions recorded somewhere. What they bought, who they bought it from, how much they paid for it, and all that. You skip all that when you use a Bitcoin cryptocurrency. People like that anonymity. All right? Other than that, guys, you can't take a Bitcoin down to Kroger or Bonds or Ralph's or whatever grocery store you go to, Safeway or whatever, and you can't go to that grocery store and with Bitcoins. There is no coins. There's just ones and zeros on a computer. If you ever see in a representation of Bitcoin and they actually show you a coin, that's just a representation. There's no such thing as a coin, a Bitcoin. Hard money, something you can hold in your hand. It's all electronic. It's all ones and zeros. And so, gold, silver, copper, all of those things sell on the market. You can invest in either one of those. They won't bring you that kind of money as Bitcoin is bringing right now. But keep in mind, guys, an ounce of gold, ounce of silver, pound of copper, whatever, those things have value just by material weight. Those minerals have value just by that. You can sell them by their weight. People sell copper. People sell silver and gold, right? But also, all the three things I just mentioned, gold, silver, and copper, are all used in industry. There's nobody listening to this presentation that ain't got copper wires in their house, on their house, in their equipment, on their computer, in the sockets in their wall, and in the extension cords. Copper is everywhere in industry. So you can see where not only copper can get, you can buy it by the pound, it's useful, you can sell it as a lump of copper or a lump of gold, but also you can sell it to industry who use it in production. It's a useful, it has all these uses. And jewelry, gold has another use. People make jewelry out of it. Folks still like gold rings, right? Gold jewelry. And so gold have a number of uses, practical ones. The Bitcoin, outside of its anonymity, you can buy things without anybody knowing it. What you bought, who you bought it from, et cetera, et cetera. Other than that, it has no other use. Can't go to the store with it. It's not used in industry. Or what else can you do with ones and zeros? Like you can gold and copper. My computer chips all got gold tips on them. Gold makes a great electrical contact because it doesn't rust. Gold will always have these uses, many uses. But when you put your money in something that has one use, pretty much so far, you might want to think twice about that. I don't know. That's a chance of making money. So if you're a speculator, if you like to gamble, that's what speculation is. If you like to play the stock market rather than use it for what it was meant to be for, If you're a player, go for it. Play with currency. Bit, you know, currency, that's a currency market out there. Euros, dollars. But play with crypto if you like. There's money in it, especially if you're a speculator. If you're an investor, it represents some place where you can store money, and it holds its value for a longer period of time than it would if you had your money in dollars, in the mattress. Because a dollar won't buy as much as it used to, and tomorrow, with all this printing of new money, you know, the new president's got a whole plan. It's going to cost trillions of dollars. You know where it's coming from. They're going to print it. And the Federal Reserve is going to print it and sell it to the government, loan it to the government. The Treasury is going to go to the Federal Reserve and say, we need trillions of dollars. They're going to print them. Fiat currency. Federal Reserve notes. That's what it says on your money. It doesn't say money. Gold, silver, dollars. Doesn't say it's backed by anything. It tells you right up front that this is made by the Federal Reserve. It's a Federal Reserve promissory note, a promise to pay, an IOU. That's what we trade in, but it's legal tender. As long as you can trade it for goods and services, it's currency. The Bitcoin, I can't even trade for goods and services except in some select places. I heard Tesla takes it for Tesla cars. But I need to go to the grocery store or the corner store or the shopping center. And I can't go in there with Bitcoin, not yet, because I know. And so we ended that conversation. And if you want to hear the whole thing, guys, go over and listen to it. But we ended that conversation by me just talking about fiat currency and how the American money isn't backed by anything. It's just IOUs and promissory notes. And nobody wants to put their money in cash because the dollar is being printed. There's nothing backing it up. And now it's going to take twice as many dollars to buy the same thing $1 used to buy, or maybe four times as many. Because the dollar is going to get weak behind abundance. What did I tell you? In a capitalist system, scarcity makes things more expensive. Abundance makes them cheaper. And so if we keep printing money, the money loses value. You got that? If that doesn't help you, I'll tell you a story. My mama told me that she used to pay a quarter for a loaf of bread. And I said, Mom, what's the difference between a loaf of bread now and what it was when you paid a quarter for it? She said, nothing. Absolutely nothing. It's just that the money is worth less. And so I understood. Didn't care how much money I had in my pocket. Somebody else was controlling what it could buy and what it couldn't. So I could go to the filling station one day and buy a gallon of gas for $2. The next day I go, it's $4. I didn't control that. The dollar ends up being worth less. And so people put their money in gold and silver, and now people are putting it into Bitcoin. And I asked them the question, I didn't ask them a question. I just put forward to everyone. Every time I go and check on the price of a Bitcoin, every time I go and look at the market and see what Bitcoins are selling for, the value of a Bitcoin is always translated to me in dollars. And I ask you to think about that. After we got through railing on the dollar and what's about to happen to it with all this new money being printed, after we got through calling it fiat currency, after we got through talking about how it's losing its value, and it's just promissory notes from the Federal Reserve. It ain't real money. It ain't real money. And so I look on the computer and I look up Bitcoin, and its value is quoted to me in fiat currency. So if your value of what you have it's converted, it's sent fiat currency. What do you got? You got fiat currency. I don't care if you call it a Bitcoin or not. When I look at that stock market and I look up Bitcoin, guys, it always quotes me the value of the Bitcoin in dollars, that same fiat currency. So that's how we ended Thursday night. And so that was a wrap-up of the week, guys. All the subjects we spoke to, education, health, alternative energy, and cryptocurrency. And so it's Friday night, and that's what we do on a Friday. We just recap what we've done all week. That's the case. People who heard us, who listened live, who thought they might have something to say, well, maybe they get another chance on Friday when we recap. Maybe they didn't come on the air because it's a call-in show. And so my lines are open. My number is on the site there. It's 319-527-6060. And I got my chat room open. So if people didn't get a chance to comment in any one of those other presentations, we make Friday available so they can catch up. And maybe now, after hearing that presentation, they may have something to say about it or add to it or take from it or whatever. And so on Friday, we recap and we open our lines up again to see if there's any questions or comments. And this is our call-in section now. We've done our recap. And now, guys, my chat room is open. My phone lines are open. And it's your time to shine. I'll give you a little music. But it's your time. You're listening to Revolutionary Life. This is Gary speaking. And we're here every weekday night between 7 p.m. and 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. Here on Revolutionary Life, we discuss subjects, issues that affect our lives every day, directly and indirectly. Thing is that we take a revolutionary viewpoint on these things. We look at them with a revolutionary eye. And like I said, revolution ain't nothing but change, baby. Just change. The revolutionary just wants to be on the vanguard of change. See, when you're in the front of change, you can ride that change in. It can move you. It can take you forward. Like a surfer waiting on a wave. You have to keep your finger on the pulse. You have to time that wave. And the wave is coming, guys. If you don't ride it, you're going to get taken under by it. It'll just slap you down. We don't want you to get slapped down by the wave. You can't stop change. Change is constant, right? There's one thing constant in this world is change. If you keep your finger on the pulse, that change, you can ride that change. And it'll just take you forward. If you don't, it can take you under. So we try to keep our finger on the pulse around here. I appreciate you for listening in tonight. I hope you can make it Monday night. We're going to be off on the weekends. I teach on the weekends, so we'll be off on the weekends, guys. But I'll be back here Monday, 7 p.m. If you see the little follow sign on my site, click follow, and you'll get up to date. You get updated as the shows come along and what the topics are going to be. Sometimes they last minute, but sometimes you can catch them before they air. If you keep your finger on the pulse. So hit that follow sign. Subscribe to the site. And we also have a Facebook page. Same Revolutionary Life. You can catch invitations there and other transactions there. Showtime is shine. This is our call-in section. Today is Friday here on Revolutionary Life. Friday is when we do our wrap-up. And we go back over the subjects of the week. We did education. If you're an educator, you might want to listen to that one. It's in our archive. We did health. If you're into health and different diets, we talked about vegetarianism. We talked about breatharianism. We talked about the placebo effect in your belief system, your BS. We talked about alternative energy, solar and wind, and the issues that are presented, artificial issues that are presented, small-minded issues that are presented, when we can get free energy, sustainable free energy. There's always an issue. We can't do solar power because there's clouds or because it gets dark at night. And it's just a small world and a small mindset. The sun don't go anywhere. You do. Clouds ain't sunny California's problem. It's your local problem. That ain't the solar panel's problem. And it ain't the sun's problem. It's yours. You out of step. It's time for us to broaden the way we look at things. And we also talked about cryptocurrency, guys. That's a big thing going on out there now. People buying them ones and zeros, that crypto money. I heard the other day somebody brought some crypto property. Some property on the internet they own now. They're property owners. Smart contracts, cryptocurrency, NFTs, non-fungible tokens. They're taking over the world. I think it was Cuban, the guy who, the wealthy guy who runs the Miami Dolphins, is it? He was saying the other day that cryptocurrency is just like the internet when it first started. You remember the internet when it first started? Everybody said, hey, this is going to change the world. We can get on the internet and can't nobody stop us. And we can talk all over the world. We can do this. We can do that. AOL was giving out free internet discs where you can get on the internet free of charge. All that changed. The door closed. But alternative energy, the door is going to close. Cryptocurrency. Governments are talking about making digital currency now. When Wall Street started looking at digital currency, guys, all those guys who were nerds, who came up with cryptocurrency, who thought they were off the grid because they were into cryptocurrency, you ain't off the grid. The last time I checked, you were on the market. Bitcoin is listed on the stock market. That's the grid, baby. The last time I checked, Bitcoin was being valued in terms of fiat currency, dollars. You off the grid? And your currency is expressed in dollars? Last time I looked. They told me how many dollars, promissory notes, fiat currency I could get for a Bitcoin. That ain't off the grid, baby. I'm sorry. I mean, the internet, all that started that way. The nerds thought that we were getting around the government and all that good stuff. And the door closed on the internet. Well, cryptocurrency. You better get in there while you can. If I was you, I'd take the money and run, but I'm not a financial advisor, so I don't give out financial advice. I said take the money and run because cryptocurrency only does one thing that I know of that's of interest. Well, two things. It's a store of money right now. It's a place where you can keep your dollars. That's what it is, guys. It translates into dollars every time you spend it. Every time you use a coin, cryptocurrency, you use it in relationship to how many dollars, how much fiat currency you can get for it. You ain't off the grid. You in the grid. You in the matrix, baby. You playing with dollars, and you calling it cryptocurrency. The last time I looked, cryptocurrency was valued in dollars. I take the money and run. I told you, I got computer parts with copper wire in them, with gold tips on the pins in the computer, the electrical connections, because gold doesn't rust. So it makes a reliable electrical connection. And so oftentimes computer chips and other vital connections are coated in gold. They make gold jewelry still. You ever see these wrappers? Gold, platinum. So gold has a lot of uses. I try to find out how many uses a Bitcoin has. Currently, it's a store of money. Currently, you have anonymity. Nobody knows who buying what from who. You don't have to go through a financial institution. Now, if you don't have to go to a financial institution, that's cool. But here's a guy, a real story, Here's a guy who lost his password. He bought Bitcoin when it was cheap. Now it's worth thousands of dollars and he's lost his password. You only get 6 tries and he's tried 5. They told him you get one more try and you get locked out of his Bitcoin wallet, which is not a real, you know, it's not a physical wallet, but it's an online place where you store your money, where your money could accumulate, where your Bitcoins are. And so your wallet has a a public key and a private key. That's like your password. He's forgotten his password. He get one more try and they lock him out. The computer locks him out. They think he's somebody trying to break in, you know. And so at my bank, where I bank, they got a password too. But underneath the password, username and password, there's a little sentence that says, a question that says, forgot password? Does Bitcoin have that little sentence where the public key is entered and the private key is entered to open up your wallet? Is there something that says, forgot your key? No. This guy's ass out of luck. Now, he got hackers calling him saying, let me try that last try before they lock you out. Let me try that last try. I can get you in there. But he hasn't invited anybody to do it yet because he only got one more shot left. And they lock him out of his Bitcoin, thousands of dollars in Bitcoin that he's made now. You see what I mean, guys? If I run my money through a financial institution and something goes wrong, there's some doors I can knock on. There's some people I can call to get that stuff straightened out. But there ain't nobody to call. If you make a faulty Bitcoin trend, oh, I didn't mean to buy that. I meant to buy this. It's too late. Or I never paid for that. How do I find out what happened to that money? Ain't nobody there to find out anything from. There's no grievances committee. But there's no place to take your complaints or your concerns. I can knock on the door of my bank or call in anytime and says, I don't understand this transaction. What is this? Or I lost my password. I just clicked forgot password. But this dude must have thousands of dollars now in Bitcoin, in his Bitcoin wallet, but he can't remember the password and he's only get 6 tries and has already tried 5. The next time he tries, if he doesn't get it, they're going to lock him out and there's no place to turn. Okay. So maybe cryptocurrency will evolve, but like I told you, as long as it's based on finance, based on fiat currency, you're just dealing in fiat currency and by another means. That's all. I want to thank everybody for listening in tonight as we did our wrap up for the week. And like I told you, all of our presentations are on demand. You're free to go back and check them out. Don't cost you nothing. And if you leave me a comment or whatnot, I'll get back with you, even if the show's over. You can still make comments and I'll get them. And if not, you can just listen to the show. If you got something to add, if you learned something, if I confirmed something you already knew, if you have any doubts about what I'm saying, I got a chat room. I can send you links of things that I'm talking about, like this guy who's lost his password. That's a story. That's out there already. Mark Cuban saying this is just like the internet, beginning of the internet. That's a news story. You can all check that out. And of course, you can always go to the market and look up Bitcoin and Ethereum, and they will tell you what they're worth in dollars only currency. And you think you're off the grid. My goodness. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to Revolutionary Life. This is Gary. We also have a Facebook page by the same name, Revolutionary Life. You can trip over there. There's lots of information there. And We also have a page called the Independence Party. Some politics over there. You can go over there and check that out as well. We do talk about politics on this station. And in fact, Monday, we might get into some. We just might get into some next week. We'll see. Be sure to tune in. Our next show will be Monday. We're off on the weekends. Next show will be Monday, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. right here on Blog Talk Radio, Central Standard Time, right here on Blog Talk Radio. I want to thank everyone who listened in tonight for listening in. And I wish you a good evening. And I'll see you Monday night. Hang in there, folks. Keep your finger on the pulse. Timing is everything. Have you ever been on a sailboat and seen that triangular sail? That sail is there so you can tack. If you know what tacking, if you can tack. See, previous to that, triangular. Previous to that triangular sail on a sailboat, some of the biggest ships in Europe had square sails. If the wind was blowing your direction, fine. If it was blowing against you, you got pushed back to shore unless you took that sail down. When they got to the Mediterranean, North Africa, they saw them using a triangular shaped sail. They call it the Latin sail. And that sail allows a boat to tack the wind, to play with that wind, to work with that wind, no matter which direction it's coming from, and still move forward. Ships begin to cross oceans with this new sail. Wind or no wind. I'm just asking my revolutionaries to learn how to tack. So any way the wind blows, it's cool with us. We can't control the wind. But we can throw that sail. And we can make it go forward no matter which way the wind's blowing. Because we know how to tack. You have to learn how to tack. That's all I'm saying. Tack and jib.
Just a little. Yeah. I'll just watch it come.
Y'all have a wonderful evening, and thank you for listening in to Revolutionary Life tonight. This is Gary, signing off for the week, and I'll see you Monday, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Standard Time, right here on Blog Talk Radio. Be there, be square. Good night, everyone. Mm-hmm.